You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray continues our two-part series on the importance of community groups in the future of our church.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We are in the second week of a three-part Vision 2020 micro series on Gather, Grow, and Go. So we're going to be in this grow part of it for one more week after this. We'll take a break. And then in the month of March, we're going to focus on go, our missional calling to the world far and the world that has come near to us. And again, it's not where we go anymore, but it's whom we go to. We've been called to reach people. And so we're going to talk about our go strategy. And the highlight of that will be our mission summit. And you will hear more about that, especially the evening event that we do will be a can't miss opportunity. And so that will appear in your bulletin in the church information in the days in the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to have a gather strategy. We're going to talk about this building, what we do here, not only our worship strategy, but the physical refreshing of this building that's now 40 years old and it needs some attention. And so we're working on the plans for that. And I don't know when we're going to launch that. We're still waiting on some information and making some decisions about that. But sometime in later spring or maybe in the fall, we will launch that strategy with you as well. But today, we're focusing on the second of these three initiatives, grow. On grow. And the premise for this is that spiritual growth happens best in the context of intentional community. I could say it another way, and that is that without intentional community, small group community, you will not thrive spiritually. There will be a failure to thrive at some point in your life if you don't have intentional community. So let me again this week define what I mean by intentional community. An intentional community is a small group where people share a mutual sense of belonging and becoming. The group shares, they're committed to a mutual, there's a mutual commitment of belonging and becoming. Belonging, they're committed to loving, accepting, and valuing one another, warts and all. I don't know about you, but I need a place where I can go to, people I can go to that just accept me as I am. I have flaws and failures. I have insecurities. I have immaturities. And I need to be able to walk into a place and they go, we love you. Welcome home. And embrace me just as I am. And you need that too. Wow, how this world would be different if everyone had a place to belong. And that's what we want Portland communities to be. And I need that, where I walk in and you love me just as I am. But you love me too much to leave me as I am. And that's where become is a big part of what we're doing. An intentional community is also a place of becoming. They're committed to helping one another grow toward their spiritual potential in Christ, grow toward their spiritual potential in Christ. We'll never reach it fully until we get to heaven, but we're on a journey becoming more and more like Jesus along the way. A place to become and a place to belong. A place to belong, a place to become. And to that end, we're launching Portland Communities. And we're calling everyone at Portland Christian Center to connect in an intentional small group where you too can belong and become. And so today I'm going to make the case for why that's essential to a thriving spirituality. You cannot thrive spiritually without a commitment and an experience of intentional community. Not by my design, not because I want you to be more involved in things, but because God has designed it so that intentional community is necessary for you to grow. God has designed it that way. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." God has created us to need one another. We talked about this last Sunday, that God created us for intimacy with him. And when he had done that, when he had created Adam and Adam had unfettered access, continual access to Almighty God. And God said, it's not good that he's alone. So apparently just having God and nothing else is not enough in God's mind. And so he created community. God gave Adam, Eve, and the family came after that, and the tribe came after that, and the nation of Israel came after that. And then now the new community, the church, has come after that. God's ultimate plan for us experiencing community. God has created us to need one another. No man, as they say, is an island unto himself. So God has created us to need one another. Now that phrase, one another, is used twice in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. The Greek word there, by the way, is allelon. Allelon. Allelon is a very important New Testament word. It's one of the most oft-used words of significance in the New Testament. Allelon. It means one another. And so in this text, first of all, we are called to spur one another on. Now, doesn't that paint a picture in your mind? I see a cowboy on a Bronco. He's got his spurs, and he's digging in, and he's making that Bronco do what he wants it to do. We're to spur one another on. And the word for spur in the Greek language is paroxmos. And it's a word that we get an English word from, paroxysm. It's not a word that we use a lot, but paroxysm or paroxmos means a violent fit or spasm. Paroxysm is a violent fit or a spasm. And so now you know it's okay to cause one another to spaz out. Yeah. And in this context, it means to provoke. To provoke in the best sense of the word. Now you can provoke people in a bad way, but in this particular case, we are to provoke one another in a good way, onto love and to good deeds. We are to admonish one another. We're to move each other along toward love and good deeds. So that's the positive sense or the best sense of this word. So we are to, first of all, spur one another on. Secondly, we are to encourage one another. And the Greek word there for encourage is parakaleo. It means to exhort, to comfort, to inspire courage. It's a little more positive than paroxmos. That's the kind of the intense negative side, if you will. But then here's the positive side. We are to inspire, exhort, and to build courage in one another. Now, interestingly, it's the same word that Jesus used of the Holy Spirit to describe the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he is the what? The paraclete. Parakaleo, one who was called to come alongside us, to encourage us, to inspire us to courage, to comfort us at time. And so in a sense, we have been now called to become little Holy Spirits, miniature Holy Spirits to one another. We are called alongside one another to inspire courage, to encourage, and to comfort, to exhort. And then one other time in these two verses, the word one another is not stated specifically, but it's implied very definitely. We are not to give up meeting with one another. And the word there is episunagoge. We get the word synagogue from that. You know, we are fond of changing nouns into verbs, and so we could say we need to synagogue. We need to synagogue together. We need to come together. So the synagogue was a gathering place, and so we have been called to gather together habitually in one place at one time. So allelon, one another, and I think we should make up another verb for this. We make up words here, so we're going to make up another word. We are called to one anothering. We're called to one anothering. Say that with me, one anothering. I want you to get used to that. You're going to hear it more. You're going to love this word so much, you're going to start using it all the time. We are called to one anothering, one anothering. And that became, one anothering became the identifying characteristic of the first church. They were known for their one anothering one another. Acts 2:44 says this, they continued together in fellowship, that's the community we're talking about, even sharing their belongings with one another. You know allelon or one anothering or community has happened when people are willing to give up what they have in order to bless one another. That is fellowship at its best. That's biblical fellowship. People one anothering one another. Pastor Matt mentioned some small groups that reached out to help people that were in need this week with I think you said a meal train. They gave food for someone who had been in the hospital. And you know, we hear stories like that all the time. Some of our groups are always doing things like that. They're one anothering one another, and that's the church at its best. Sometimes I hear people say, well, the church needs to do this. And whenever that's said to me, it kind of sets me back a little bit because I think, oh my goodness, where did the church fail? What did we miss? Where did we not meet somebody's needs? And 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, when I look into it, you know what I find? the church was doing something because individuals were one anothering one another. And that's church at its best. And so whenever you say the church ought to, you have slipped into a thinking that it's not biblical. You are the church. And so now, once we hear somebody say that, including me, we're going to say to you, well, then you go do it because you're the church. When you hear someone say, the church didn't do this, then you say, well, you're the church, go do it. That'll solve the issue right there. We need to one another. So the early church continued together in fellowship. They even shared their belongings with one another. So they're just fulfilling what Jesus had asked of them. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus set the standard. He showed them how. And he says, now you go do this. Love one another. By the way, and this is significant. We need to understand this if we're going to really get this business of one anothering one another, that this alelon, one anothering, is the sacred activity of heaven. I don't know if you realize that or not, but this is what they do in heaven. In Scripture, the Trinity is often caught one anothering one another. We find Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but you might want to take a picture of this just so you can study it on your own. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are often seen encouraging one another. They are supporting one another. They're loving one another. This is my beloved Son. With him, I'm well pleased. They're deferring to one another. Jesus said, I don't do what I want to do. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I do what I see the Father doing. They're deferring to one another, and they're glorifying one another. And they are simply modeling for us what we're told to do for one another. At least 47 distinct times in the New Testament, we're called to one anothering. God modeled it for us. He's created us to need it. He calls us to do it. And when we consistently one another, we show earth what heaven is like. When we do this, we're showing earth what happens in heaven. Jesus went on to say in John 13, 35, by this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. When we get that right, when we learn to one another, that is the most powerful witness of all. That's the most powerful witness to a lost world that the church has. So when these early disciples did that, when they one another, they became living proof of a loving God to a lost world. And that's still true today. When we do this well, we are living proof to the lost world of a loving God. You see, our greatest credibility in the world is not our political power. I think a lot of Christians are caught up in that right now. That's not our greatest power. It's not in the beautiful buildings that we have, as much as we love our building. It's not in these amazing programs or the amassing of resources that we might have. That's not our greatest credibility to the world. Our witness is authenticated when we love one another. Francis Schaeffer, I quoted part of this last week, said this, our relationship with one another is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. You want the world to believe that God sent Jesus and Jesus is in us, then we need to love one another. That's the best apologetic. There is no argument against that. The thing is as we engage in one another, and we're simply living out the witness of heaven on earth. And as we do, not coincidentally, but by God's design, we also invite some of heaven back to earth in our own lives. Listen to what the Apostle Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He said, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. You want God's favor in your life? You want God's grace, his unmerited favor and resources and blessing in your life? Then serve one another. We bring heaven to earth in our own lives. So back to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, what we're going to find here are three grow practices for one anothering. Three grow practices for one anothering. That as we do these things in the context of community, it will elevate our experience of what it means to be the community of Christ, to be the body of Christ, the family of God, intentional community. So let's look at these. Number one, in this verse, in verse 24, we are called to be resolutely accountable to one another. We're called, number one, to be resolutely accountable to one another. Verse 24 says that we are to consider. The word means to ponder. We need to do this with knowledge. We are to consider how we can spur one another on, that is to provoke, to love, that has to do with our character, our internal character, and good deeds. That's our external behavior. Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, that we are to be completely humble and gentle, be patient. I mean, that kind of balances out this idea of provoking one another, right? We are to bear with one another in love. But then he adds in verse 15, the other side to that, speaking the truth in love will grow to become the mature body of Christ. You know, I would assume that you're just like me, in that by nature, we tend to surround ourselves with people who will make us feel good. Anyone like people who make you feel good about yourself like I do? I mean, like three of you, thank you. I like people around me who make me feel good. But those people don't necessarily help me to do good and to be good. There's a difference. Now, they're not mutually exclusive, but sometimes the people that are making you feel good aren't helping you to do good, to be good, and to do good. But we'll never grow past spiritual immaturity unless we invite people into our lives to speak truth to us. Now, accountability doesn't just happen naturally. You have to invite people into your life. You have to ask people to come onto your personal development team. Now, a few people will just voluntarily provoke you. You know, there are a few people that have that ministry, that gift, right? But most people won't do that unless you invite them to hold you accountable. Hey, I need you to hold me accountable for this. Proverbs 15:31 says, "He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise." I want to be at home among the wise. I want to be wise. And I need people who at times will rebuke me when there's immaturity in my life. Listen, you don't need 5,000 friendly Facebook friends. You don't need 50,000 friendly Twitter followers. You need just a few people in your life who will come alongside you to call out God's best in you. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another." You know, sometimes I have this love-hate relationship with social media right now. And I think it's trending toward hate more than love. But anyway, I'm on there and I'm trying to use it to speak a good word, an encouraging word, and use it to help disciple people. But I think one of the most disheartening things that I see on social media is that every once in a while, someone will come out and they will declare a sinful practice to now be their lifestyle. They are proud to embrace this sinful lifestyle. You know, people do that, right? I'm now just going to be true to who I am. I'm just going to be me. And if that's not disheartening, what's really disheartening is to see people in the body of Christ who know better, who will like that post, or who will comment on that post, and they will say, "Whoa, we're so proud of you. You just got to be who you are." No, you're not proud of them. You're not. You're just ingratiating yourself to them. Don't do that. It's no one in this room, but the first service is full of people like that. They just do that all the time. And sometimes when I see that, it's so disheartening and I just get stirred up that I will private message that person who everyone is cheering on. "Oh yeah, just be yourself. You just got to be true to you." And I will private message them and I will say, "Look, everybody else is saying this to you, but I want you to know I love you enough to say this. Let me tell you the truth, that what you're doing is going to lead to your destruction. You're going down a path that could eventually lead to the destruction of your soul." We need to speak the truth in love to one another. So don't do that if you're ever tempted to. If you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. But for sure, don't lie to them. Don't withhold the truth from them when the truth is needed in their lives. They need, like I need, friends that are unconditionally loving, yet absolutely truthful, committed to their growth in their Christ-likeness. Before I left Portland Christian Center in the early 2000s to go pastor the church in California, I was a part of a small group. And it was a very, very small group. Small group, right? We had four members in my small group then. And I was in a group with Michael and Mark and Stan. We were good buddies and we held each other accountable. And so one morning I came in and I was really in a gripey mood. I was whining about something. I'd been offended. I don't know what it was. I don't even remember what it was, but I was just kind of going on about how I, you know, this was wrong and this had happened to me. And Mark leaned across the table and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, pal, build a bridge and get over it." I was kind of stunned, but we laughed. We just kind of laughed about it. And I'll tell you what, that was a defining moment in my life because I thought, well, he's right. I don't want to be a victim. I want to be an overcomer. I want to take responsibility. I want to be responsible for my attitude and my action, and I'm going to take charge of this thing, and I'm going to overcome this. And that has stuck with me. What that guy said to me was life to me. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6 says, "Better to correct someone openly than let them think that you don't care for them at all. A true friend will warn you. A true friend will speak truth to you." Listen, there's a vital connection between spiritual thriving and intentional accountability. There's a vital link between spiritual thriving and intentional accountability. And so we need to be resolutely accountable to one another. I can't make you do that. That has to be something that you voluntarily commit to and invite that into your life. But you need it. You need it to thrive spiritually. Then number two, we must be consistently engaging with one another. Consistently engaging, Hebrews 10:25 says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So here's my take on this verse. This is the most disobeyed verse in American Christianity today. This is the most disobeyed verse in the church in America today. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. There is tons of data on this now, and it's a bit tricky to come up with hard numbers on this on church attendance because of the way that church is defined or church attendance is defined. But there's a recent bit of analysis that said it this way that I agree with because of the research I've done and just by my assessment, seeing what's going on in the church world today. And it says this: an active church member used to be defined as one who attended at least three times a week. How many of you grew up in a church like that? Yeah, that was at least we were in church three times a week, sometimes more. Now, that number is three times a month and less. And I would add, and declining. In fact, I've heard other statistics that say the average church attendance now is 1.2 times a month. Inconsistency of intentional community is on the rise. Inconsistency of intentional community is increasing despite Scripture clearly labeling that a bad habit. That's not Pastor Ray saying that. That's not just because I don't want any empty seats in here. The Scripture says it is a bad habit not to intentionally gather together, both in the large group celebration context and in intentional small group community. And so I want to challenge you today that you would make meeting together the habit of your life. Make meeting together, face-to-face relationships with other believers, the habit of your life, especially if you are now in the habit of watching a church service in your pajamas. If that's become your habit, I'm going to look at the camera right now. If that's your habit, that's a bad habit. I'm not talking about you, Pastor Ron. No. Pastor Ron texted me this morning. They're usually sitting over here. And he said, we can't be there. We're watching our grandkids and they're sick today. So I will be watching live stream. So kudos to you, Pastor Ron. And I bet he's not in his pajamas. I hope not. Some people have gotten into the habit of coming to church electronically. Now, listen, that we have it, and so that means we don't think it's a bad thing to have it. Once in a while, it's a benefit to have this, right? I mean, if you're sick, if for some reason you can't be, if you're out of town, if you're on vacation, I have people that from all over the country that will email me and say, hey, we're in Nashville today and we watched you on TV. I mean, I think that's a good thing. But if it becomes the pattern of your life, it's a bad pattern. It's a bad habit. But once in a while, it's okay to go on vacation. Once in a while, it's okay to be gone. Once in a while, you might be sick. That's okay. And that's why we have this. Bob Vinge and I, a few years ago, were with a group of my buddies. I belong to a pastoral peer group from all over the state of Oregon. And so we decided to raft the Rogue River, the wild and scenic Rogue River. And I talked them into letting me bring Bob because he needs some discipling. And so we were on the last day of the trip. It was a Sunday morning. You were in church about this time. You were in church and we were floating in our kayaks down the Rogue River. And one of my pastor friends looked over at me and he said, oh, this is what our people are doing on Sundays when they're not in church. This is kind of nice. I'm not going to get mad at them anymore about this. And once in a while, that's okay, but not the pattern of it, not the pattern of it. You can't gather and you can't give, and you certainly won't grow if you're not consistently engaging in community in both large and small group settings. So this may be an area, since we've also talked about accountability, this may be an area where you need to ramp up the accountability with your missing in action friends. Rather than saying, oh, life's good, everything's good, haven't seen you for 6 months, but life's good, you might need to say, hey, I haven't seen you in church lately. You've not been in small group lately. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together, my friend. I mean, seriously, we need to be willing to speak the truth to one another about this. We cannot thrive if we don't engage in intentional community. And for all of us here, we need to stay plugged in to real fellowship, not virtual fellowship. We need real fellowship to thrive. So we must be consistently engaging with one another. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, good. I didn't know if you believed me about that. All right. Last one, number three. We must be purposefully encouraging with one another. Purposefully encouraging. Hebrews 10:25 ends with this, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The contemporary English version says it this way, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. You know, I grew up in a church setting, and some of you did as well, where it seemed like they talked about the nearness of the Lord's coming every Sunday. I mean, I just kind of believed that I might go to bed one night and wake up in heaven. I mean, we expected the Lord to come back at any time. So we've heard this for 2,000 years now, but here's the deal. It's closer than it's ever been. Jesus is coming back. And as we witness the condition of our world, I think we have to say that the signs of the times have been fulfilled. There's nothing holding Jesus back. There's nothing holding his return back. The day of the Lord is getting close. And so the scripture tells us, especially in light of us seeing the day approaching, we need to encourage each other all the more. Why do we need to do that? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin has a hardening effect on our lives. It's deceitfully hardening. I think a very big reason why we become callous to sin, why we slip into fear rather than step forward in faith, why we get emotionally depleted, we get discouraged, we get down, we get dark, the reason we shrink back from our faith potential, the big reason is from discouragement. We get discouraged. We're missing out on daily encouragement from our human paracletes. Remember, we too, like the Holy Spirit, have been called to be a paraclete, to come alongside others, to encourage them, to exhort them, to comfort them, to inspire courage within in them. When we don't have daily doses of that, we're going to get hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So as believers, we have not only the responsibility, we have the privilege, the power within us to impact one another by daily encouragement, by daily encouragement. I think this is especially important as the enemy works overtime to diminish us so that he can finish us. The enemy right now, all around us in a realm that we cannot see, will invade the realm that we are in, and he will do things that discourage us. And we need the encouragement of one another. I mean, what would happen as you see people getting hardened by sin, or as you see people starting to sink into darkness because of the weight of the world? What would happen if we just gave them daily doses, overdoses of encouragement? Now, I don't know if it would cure everything, but I think it would help. I think their lives would get better. I think it would strengthen them more than they would get otherwise. We have the power to encourage one another. Daily encouragement is the most powerful force for spiritual thriving we can unleash on one another. Consider the power of encouragement in the following verses, from Proverbs. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Some of you are looking for the fountain of youth. Look for the fountain of life. Be the fountain of life. Be an encourager. Proverbs 12:8, the tongue of the wise brings healing. We looked a little bit at this last week, but in community, there's a literally a physical healing property that is unleashed in our lives. And with our words, we can be an agent of healing, not just emotional or spiritual healing. I think that by the words we speak, we can promote physical healing. And there's a lot of studies now, scientific studies, that show what the Bible says. The tongue of the righteous, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs the heart down, but a kind word cheers it up. Does it cure anxiety? Does it cure depression? I don't know. I doubt it, but it can't hurt. It cannot hurt when we encourage one another. And then this one, Proverbs 18:21, from the Message, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You choose. What kind of words do you choose to use? You're either going to poison people, or you're going to cause people to, your words are going to be fruitful in their lives. Words kill, words destroy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's the potential of the words we choose to use with one another. The awesome potential of encouraging each other. So, let me just summarize and then we're going to close. What we need to enter into intentional community is purposeful encouragement. We need to be purposefully encouraging to one another. We need to be consistently engaging with one another, both in the celebration event like this, as well as the small group community. And we need to be mutually accountable to one another. That is how our Creator has designed us to grow. Experience in intentional community, these three things, is how God has made it so that we will grow and thrive spiritually. And I believe it will cause us to grow and thrive numerically as well, because you're not going to be able to keep people away from a community that is living out these values of heaven. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today to take steps toward intentional one anothering. I've watched it all of my ministry life. I've experienced it in my ministry life, how powerful this is. I was thinking back this morning. I was going to tell you another story, but then this came to mind, and I thought, I'm going to share this one. But when we had taken the church in California, there was a guy that came to our church. He joined our church. His name was Jim. Jim was an older fella, and he was, frankly, he was an odd duck. I mean, he was just kind of, he was weird. He didn't have relationships. He was a loner. He was perpetually grouchy. I mean, he just looked dour all the time. He just kind of short with people, but he came to our church. He joined the church. He became one of us. And God began to work in his life, and he took on a role on a serve team, and he would show up early on Sunday mornings, and he would prepare something. I don't remember what he was preparing, but something we needed done, I think it was the coffee. And he would come, and he would help prepare that. And so I come in very early, and he was there very early, and I saw him walking across our patio. It was in California where you have nice weather. You can be outside once in a while. And we had a large patio, which was kind of our foyer. And I saw Jim walking across the patio, and I was walking toward him, and I just stopped him. And I thought, you know, he's going to be grouchy, and this isn't going to be fun, but I'm going to encourage him. And so I reached out. I grabbed his hand, and I shook it, and I put my arm around him, and I patted him on the back, and I said, Jim, it's really good to see you today. God bless you. I hope you have a great day. He walked on. Didn't say anything to me. I went, figures. He just walked on. Made the coffee. Well, that week, I got an email from Jim. And he said, Pastor Ray, I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me. He said, you were the only other human contact I had this week. No one touched me. No one shook my hand. No one smiled at me. No one even talked to me this week except you. You made my week. Thank you. I thought, man, I'm so glad I stopped to talk to Jim, to take the time to just be kind to him. It didn't cost me anything. And it made his week. It made his week. You know, there are some people that need that kind of touch in their lives. And in fact, maybe you're not like Jim, but we all need that kind of touch in our lives to thrive. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to take some deliberate steps toward intentional communities, toward intentional one anothering this week. So here's what we're going to do. So step number one is this. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to birth the desire for Alelon, to birth the desire for one anothering in your heart. You know, maybe you're not a people person. You know, maybe you just would rather be doing tasks than engaging with people. Some people are like that. You know, maybe you're a bit of a loner. Maybe you're very shy, and it's hard. It's like dying 1,000 deaths to engage with other people. But since God has created us to need that and to give that, I think he can help us with that, right? And so I would encourage you, and we're going to end the service by praying this, that you would just invite the Holy Spirit to birth the desire, an insatiable appetite for one anothering in your life. Now, you may not know this about me, but I'm a very shy person. I'm not a people person. I'm a task person. I would rather be doing a task than engaging with people. I'm not very relational. And I've been that way all my life. And it's just amazing to me. Every Sunday when I walk up here, on the way up, I'm going, God, really? You want me to do this again? And so God called me into the ministry. And I thought, wow, if I'm going to be a pastor, I've got to actually like people. And I do. I love you all. And so I begin to pray, God, you got to help me with this. And I absolutely love people. I love being with people. It is no problem for me to one another because God birthed that in me. That wasn't natural to me. God birthed that in me. And part of what I did to work with God on what he was doing in my life, I just decided that if I will show interest in people, now how do you begin to interact with? Just show interest in people. I learned that if I show interest in people, I will find people interesting. And it's true. So how do you do it? Just start showing interest in other people, and you will find them interesting. And God will turn you from a task person like I was into a people person more than you are right now. So if you struggle with this, then I challenge you, invite the Holy Spirit to birth something in you that you cannot create yourself. And he will do it. Since he's designed you to thrive in community, he will do it. Secondly, I want you to commit to one anothering. And one of the ways that you can do that is by signing up, by committing to Portland Communities. We're going to give you an intentional small group experience. You're going to get to go through this 8-week program where we model this for you. We're going to do it here on Wednesday nights, and then we're going to launch them in the communities. And so if you've not done this, then follow the script and do it. I would like everybody, and if I could throw my spiritual pixie dust out there over you, you all would do this. This is what God has called us to do as a staff. We're inviting you. We're inviting you into this amazing experience of intentional community. So that's number two. Number three, since it's still called today, according to Hebrews 3:13. It's not tonight yet. I've not preached you into the evening. It's still today. As long as it's called today, practice some purposeful encouragement before you leave. I've asked the ushers to lock the doors. We can't do that because the fire marshal, but so they're not doing that. But could I challenge you to observe the 5-minute one anothering rule before you leave? Before you head for the door, would you just stop and would you just engage people around you? Or maybe there's someone the Lord is leading you to that you know needs some one anothering, just some encouragement. Just say, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. If you ask how you doing, then listen, all right? So I'm guilty of that. Hey, how you doing? You know. Nice to see you. What's happening in your life? How can I pray with you? I mean, just listen, just encourage. We have the awesome potential of making someone's hour, day, week, month, and life simply by what we do in this moment. I challenge you to try one anothering before you leave. It's a pretty cool thing. Let's pray. You know, I'm just going to ask for maybe a bold step for some of you. But if you really struggle with this business of intentional community, of face-to-face engagement, of being habitually with other people in an accountable, encouraging relationship, if you're not a people person and you know it, and you want the Holy Spirit's help with this, would you just slip your hand up right now? Every head bowed. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Just if that's you, you just say, man, I need this. If I'm going to do this, God's going to have to help me with this. Just slip your hand up, put it down again. Yeah, lots of people. So God, I just want to pray, especially for those that raise their hands. That said, I struggle with this. I'm a loner. I prefer to be alone. I'm not a people person. I like to get busy with tasks, and this is like pulling teeth for me to engage with other people. So God, would you birth this through your Holy Spirit? Would you birth parakletos in me, one anothering in me, alelon? Can't do it myself, but you can. So God, with your help, I will commit to stepping out to doing this. So God, I just pray for this church. I pray for all of us here, all of us watching by television, even those that aren't here today, that aren't watching, that somehow the word's gonna get to them. Somehow the Spirit will just move in their lives. That like the early church, we will be known for our one anothering. That we will love one another just as you have loved us. And by this, the world will know that you are our disciples. Lord, I pray over this church. Thank you for it. God, increase this within us, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me, please, for final blessing? As you go, 5 minutes from now, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, all God's people said, amen. Now, do some one anothering. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.